looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You or Jayla? Yo,
they wanna know.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Mia.
To welcome to Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Lindsay Weber.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And it's time for a little show that we like to call Who's There?
So how was your week? We had a live show and it went really well, I think.
It was fun. It was fun. We really did fun. Some good stuff. We definitely tried out some good stuff that we're going to use for our August show. So if you missed July, come see us in August.
It's really fun. And DJ Louie was such a good addition.
So good.
Please,
Fran,
hire DJ Louie for your wedding. Fran Hoffner, also incredible. So funny.
But anyways, come see us in August where we're going to have Matt Bellassai. Oh my God. And Mariah Smith. Pretty sure she's going to be there. It's going to be incredible.
Mariah Smith has done something for us before, and it's just so funny and good. Like, why not have her back, you know?
Why not?
Why obviously. Not have her back? She's amazing.
And if you're like, why do they keep talking about their shows in New York? Are they going to leave New York ever? And the answer is probably never again. Just kidding. Like, to live. I mean, whatever. What I mean was, are they ever going to leave New York again? The answer is yes. We are going to be going on tour next year. We're still in the planning mode, but it will be early next year. So, like, we're going to go everywhere, too.
We're going to go all over the place. I love it. What's there to gab about? I feel like we can gab about stuff.
You love gab. You love to gab.
What can we gab about?
Oh, well, my God. A lot is in the show. Like, Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, that's in the show.
We gab about
like,
everything.
There is...
Let's just start. Let's play the first call. Let's start the gab.
Lindsay, this is just for your information. Love that you're talking about Love Island. Literally the best trash show that has ever existed on television. But when you guys were talking about, is it only heterosexual couples? Yes, that is mostly true. But season 3, one of the girls named Sophie ended up pairing with a girl. And that was the first lesbian couple on Love Island. Yeah. We need to play those games. But yeah. Love you guys. Thanks. Good form, Bella Thorne.
So a lot of you called about Love Island. A lot of you are watchers of Love Island and supported my journey. And I admitted I was only on like episode like 30 of like 100. You know, this show airs every day and I'm already behind. So it's like I don't feel like I'm ever going to catch up. And I know there are early seasons on Hulu. And a lot of you said you got to watch season 2. You got to watch season 3. And we said there was no gay stuff on Love Island. Apparently there was. There was a bisexual relationship. And what's crazy is I think you're talking about this woman, Sophie, who died this year. Oh, so that was like a little bit of a dark Love Island moment.
And
I was actually wondering
died?
Who she was.
Oh my God. Her yeah. boyfriend died weeks after she died.
Yeah. It's
Sophie
Love
Graydon
Island
died,
is,
then her boyfriend Aaron yeah. Armstrong died. That is terrible.
I'm not sure if it's the same. No, it is. It is the same Sophie. So she was on season 2 and she's bisexual. And so there was like a little bit of like a gay moment because we said that Love Island had no gay moments. It is a very hetero show, but it, you know, that's, I guess it had moments.
That's really sad.
It's very sad. It's also crazy because GayStarNews.com's headline was Love Island's first ever bisexual star, Sophie Graydon, dies age 32.
So you're not even there yet. You haven't even met Sophie.
No, I'm ahead. Basically, I went.
Well, you started in the most recent season.
Because I wanted to be like where England was, like what they're talking about right now, because that's like more fun to read. I could go back. I might. It's a lot of episodes to go back and watch the original series. Like, this show also airs in Australia. Like, there's an Australian Love Island. There's a lot here. But I only have so many hours in the day.
This is bleak. You kind of focused on the absurd delightfulness of Love Island, and now this is sad. I mean,
this was a bleak thing that happened from a season I wasn't privy to until people were calling and being like, "Hey, Love Island, like we love it, but also like dark, dark, dark."
Okay, next call. Speaking of darkness, but a different kind.
That could go so many directions.
Hi, Who Weekly. I literally had to pause Thursday's podcast to call in and tell you this. I am proud. Black coffee, I drink black iced coffee from Starbucks with no milk, so there are people who do it and enjoy it. Thanks, bye.
Sounds like someone should have their Java before they call in.
There were a lot of people, and I mean like five people, who were like, here's me sipping my iced coffee, no milk, no sugar. I was like, enjoy. It sounds disgusting. I mean,
Starbucks coffee is literally burned. It's burned.
Well, they were like, I love the cold brew. It's so smooth. I was like, oh, what? Are they serving you water?
Okay, I guess maybe the cold brew is a different story. Maybe, but it's still not the best cold brew in the world. As a cold brew connoisseur.
No.
I've had better cold brew than Starbucks, and even the cold brew I need to fill with whole milk. I don't use steak milk. I used to use steak milk, and I use whole milk again.
I just imagine like you rolling up with one of those. Remember that Diet Coke that we got at the bar that had no flavor? It was just like bubbly dark water. It's like you roll up with like a non-flavor iced coffee, like, and you're like, I love my like all dark iced coffee. It takes a sip, and there's just no flake. There's no
flavor
that, in it.
Is that a funny story to tell? Is that funny? After it's the show...
It's kind of fun. No, it's not that funny.
After the show on Tuesday, four of us went out for a drink, and we got to the bar, and Lindsay and Lala were like, get us each a Diet Coke. So I go to the bar and order the drinks, and I bring them their Diet Cokes, and as they're pouring the Diet Cokes from the little gun, I notice that it's so fizzy, and in my mind I'm thinking, I should have gotten a Diet Coke that looks so good, because it was so fizzy. It looked like the perfect Diet Coke.
And who said we had no banter today?
And I brought it to you and Lala, and you both took a sip, and were like, this doesn't taste like anything. It was, the bubbles completely dissipated after being poured, so it was like only half fizzy. But they
It was
literally,
like out of syrup. There was no syrup
it had
in the
color.
Gun.
It had caramel color. I've never experienced this. It had caramel color, but no Coke flavor and no fake sweetness flavor. It
but
tasted
what was
like
funny
water.
Was you were like, oh, he didn't charge me for those. And it's like, now I know why he didn't charge you for those. Like, he knew.
Because sometimes bartenders charge for Coke, like mixers. They'll charge like $1 or two. And he charged
I'm just saying,
nothing.
I feel like he knew that there was no flavor in the gun.
There was no flavor. There was no flavor.
It was funny. It was honestly so funny.
It was like your brain was sending off alarm signals, because, you know, like our brains are dumb. And so they're going in expecting something very specific. And when it gets this, like the brain was going like, what's happening? This is a nightmare.
It was like,
I don't like
it
this.
It was the biggest disappointment over and over again. Like every time I'd like gear up to taste like Diet Coke, and then I would taste nothing. Is this a good story? Like, I don't think so.
Have you ever experienced Diet Coke that tastes like nothing? Call in 619 who them. Next call.
No,
next call.
Don't.
This is very important.
Please.
Oh, so this one needs a bit of a introduction.
Preamble.
So someone emailed us. Was she from Croatia?
Yeah, she's from Croatia.
An actual Croatian woman emailed us and said, hey, lol, I'm so glad you talked about the Croatian president, but you butchered her name. I attached an audio clip of me saying her name correctly. So here it is. The Croatian president, who is not Coco.
Kolinda Grabar-Kitarović.
My, we were so
we
wrong.
We should start one of those YouTube videos, like, you know, the pronunciation video. Did I do it?
Pronunciation.
You know where they pronounce?
Yes.
You know when they pronounce things correctly on YouTube?
We should
start that, but for who names? For like who people that no one knows how to pronounce their names, like the Croatian
Bibi
president.
Bibi Rexa. Bibi Rexa.
Bibi so
Rexa. Bibi Rexa.
Yeah, it's good. We should do that.
That's pretty good. Another thing to put on our list of things that we want to do and never will do.
Like those t-shirts.
Lindsay, don't mention that. It's happening. Okay, it's happening.
Sure.
It's going to happen. Next call.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I know this is not a Mamma Mia podcast. However, I would like to thank Lindsay personally for making me so excited about this movie. I didn't know I was excited about it until last week when I saw a promo for it on TV. And I was like, I have to see that. And I've just gotten home from seeing it by myself in the theater. I had the whole theater to myself. And I ugly cried just because I was that happy. So much joy. And I have you guys to thank for it. Well, also share. Mostly share. But thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I needed this. Good for Bella Thorne. Bye.
And then there's another call if you want to play back to back.
But really quickly, she sounded like we sounded after seeing Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
We were like everybody was in shock / just kept being like, that's the best movie. That's the best movie.
Everyone was so happy. And I feel like even in our group of friends, it's very rare that we watch a movie and everyone comes to a consensus on it, whether we like it or dislike it. And every single person in that theater that we saw it with was so happy after that movie and like surprised. And we went to Shake Shack afterwards and we were just eating our burgers, just talk. I felt like I was in high school, you know, like there was a very specific sort of order to seeing movies in high school with your friends. Like you'd go see the movie and then you go to like get fast food afterwards or like whatever. And because it was all you could do, there was nothing else to do when you're like 16.
Right.
And you're just kind of stupid and you're just like, yeah, that was great. Oh, I just saw Mean Girls or whatever. But I felt like a teenager again, like going to this fun movie.
Because usually we have like very self-important pointed criticism of movies, like just very like, well, actually like in act three, they should have like blah, blah.
We do.
Like totally obnoxious being like, oh, well, that director was involved, but like he got out. So like it could have been better if like Soderbergh was involved.
Beep, boop,
like,
beep, 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 really, piece of trivia I read on like beep, boop, beep, like IndieWire, like listen up.
It's exhausting because it's just one person being like, like over each other. But because we were so like speechless and like kind of just in like a beautiful daze from that movie, no one had any kind of like, everyone was just like, that was great.
And we were like, eating Shake Shack just to make things better. Oh,
I know. All my like synapses were like pleased. Like I was fully, I
started
fully
crying.
Happy.
I mean, we have another call to play, but I started crying when they started singing Dancing Queen.
It was nice for the second time.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it was nice. And it was weirdly, I wouldn't say two is better than one. I would say they're about the same and equally good because one is very good. I just think people forget. But like two had a lot of like sadness that one didn't have. And it was done really nicely. And the songs that they chose were really nice. And I didn't even really know them. Like they weren't like ABBA songs that I knew.
The last song especially was, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was just like a really amazing choice.
Yeah, and the setup was fun. And it made it kind of meta, like they kind of put everyone together, even the people that played the same people.
So yeah. Oh, like no, I meant the actual last song of the movie, not the credit song.
Oh.
The last
that was
song.
Nice too.
Yeah.
Yes.
That part.
Who do you think is the breakout star of Mamma Mia?
Well, let's play
a
call. Let's play a call because it's clearly Lily James.
Hi, guys. Long time. Calling, I'm like feeling out of breath, like exhilarated because I just got out of Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again. I think it's the best movie that's ever been made. And so I'm calling to ask Lily James, you know, I've heard of her, I know she's a who, but like, does she have them potential? Do we think any of the random young versions of the love interest have any who potential? Because they're not even who yet, let's be real, but they all deserve to be done because it is truly a masterpiece that this world needs right now, and I need to go see it 5 more times. Thanks so much. Good form, Bella Thorne. Yummy pop.
Wow. Is it that everybody loves Mamma Mia or just our demographic?
I think it's our demographic, but we have the best demographic, so it's fine.
The only important,
they should be everyone. They're everyone to us. Lily James. It's exactly what you said. She's a who with them potential. I think she's getting closer and closer. She's been a slow burn to who.
Well, she wasn't anything. Remember we talked about her when she was in Baby Driver. We were like, this is not going to do it for her. Yeah. Like, this is not the vehicle, wink, wink, that is going to propel her into them-dom. You like that?
Yeah. But then Darkest Hour came, which we talked about, and she's, like, fine in it.
But also, like, no one saw that. I'm sorry.
But it's very much one of those roles that, like, she doesn't really do anything. Her role is to be, like, timid and then come into the frame and then sort of be strong by the end. But
this
one,
it's like, she's a star. She's so beautiful. It's actually gross. She's so beautiful. And her voice is really good. She's got that nice, not intimidating voice, which I like, which is what I love. Actually, the one thing I did say about Mamma Mia that I was, like, being whatever about was I love how no one is actually a very, very good singer. Everyone's a very
Everyone's competent
or an okay singer. We have the span. Even Cher, who is a good singer, is not a belter. She's subtle in her singing, you know?
Here,
and so
at least,
you have, like, here. Do you know what I mean? Like Meryl Streep, not an amazing singer. A good singer.
Yeah.
Dominic West, what's his name?
Not a great singer, but fine. But he doesn't really do much singing in this one. Although I loved his song with Lily James.
I'm just saying, like, the span of, like, we just don't have, they didn't cast singers, right? It's not Les Mis. We don't have this, like, showy kind of, like, musical belting. It's all very chill.
Although Amanda Seyfried was in Les Mis. So.
Oh, true. Oh, my God, true.
A little bit.
But I think she sings differently in this. Mm-hmm. She's not, like, trying to match anyone or anything.
Yeah.
It's, like, very much self-defining. Anyways, that's my own, that's my only, critique.
I will say, I think the there were real singers, because the woman who plays young Christine Baranski, who is Jessica Keenan-Wynn, she's very Broadway, and she's, like, very clearly a great singer, but she doesn't
really get
the big showstoppers.
No,
know? She's a background
performer. And she was mostly working on her impression of Christine Baranski, which was fucking flawless.
Which was flawless.
Even her mannerisms.
Yeah, it was a hell of a performance, and she's loving the attention. It's a lot of
fun. That's true. I think she was great, and the young Stellan, the young Swede,
whose name I now forget.
What's
Dylan.
His name? Josh Dillon. Is he just like a bro? Like, what is his, what's his deal?
What's Josh Dillon's deal? He's been in, like, nothing. The only other movie he's been in is that movie with Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard, Allied.
Okay. I mean, I'm happy they didn't, I was kind of mad they didn't actually cast a young Skarsgård. Like, it seemed crazy, but now I'm, like, happy because he was perfect for that role.
He was really good. He was my favorite young person, and then Stellan Skarsgård is my favorite old person. I love Stellan Skarsgård.
It was a fun,
young and old
it was
Bill.
A fun movie.
Great.
Yeah.
Colin Firth, who I don't particularly love,
he was
is
good.
So charming in it. And
why
so
didn't they give
Brosnan.
Him a love interest? I feel like they had an opportunity that they didn't.
Well, he sort of had a love. He sort of was a, had a fling with the ticket ticker guy, the passport guy.
Well, that's what I wanted that.
I wanted them to kiss.
I wanted the
I wanted
beat,
them
you know
to
how
kiss.
Like always like the maid and the babysitter like get together. Mm-hmm. Like it's I wanted that B character.
The other hooey person who's sort of on the same level. The only person who was sort of on the same level as Lily James in terms of the young people, by which I mean like he's been in other notable things in the past, is Jeremy Irvine, who played young Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
He was Warhorse, so that was a big deal. He was Warhorse. He was also in Stonewall.
He was
in the revisionist history Warhorse.
I don't think he was as like incredible as I think they wanted him to be. Is that rude?
But you know who what the best thing about Jeremy Irvine is?
What?
You know he played young Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again. Sorry, there's no 2.
Yeah.
He played young Colin Firth in a movie called The Railway Man, which is one of the hooiest movies of all time.
The Railway Man?
Yeah, it's one of those movies that had a ton of thems in it, such as Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman, and once again, Stellan Skarsgård. And I don't think I know anyone who's seen it.
I haven't seen it.
It has the funniest name, The Railway Man.
The Railway Man. Who's The Railway Man?
Colin Firth is The Railway Man.
Does he live on a railway or does
it
he
has
work
something
at the
to
railway?
Do with... being a prisoner of war in World War II, but then like involving like a railway.
Taking the train?
Yeah. There's something to do with the railway. I don't know. But anyway, he's played both young Colin Firth and young Pierce Brosnan.
Wow, he's a regular what's-her-face from last week. Sophie something.
Sophie Lillis.
Oh, that.
Sophie Lillis.
Yeah.
So that's it.
We've spent a lot of time on this.
Lily James, but her big burst in this, and we didn't even mention it, was Cinderella, but I think we've talked about her in the past. She's definitely going to be a them.
It didn't click for her. Like, I saw Cinderella, and that movie, I just don't think
people are like... But that is what started, that's what got her future roles.
I know, but I'm just saying, I don't think people are like, oh, yes, the iconic Cinderella, Lily James. No,
they talk about this on Little Gold Men last week. They have a really good conversation about Lily James if you want to listen to that. And they interview the once and future them of my heart, Ol Parker, the writer and director of Mommy, Here We Go Again.
The most talented man in Hollywood. The most
talented man in Hollywood. He also wrote the best and second best Exotic Marigold Hotels. He wrote Imagine Me and You.
This guy is a gift.
Iconic lesbian romance. And his wife is Tandy Newton. What more could you ask for?
Which is like alone an accomplishment.
Next call. Oh my God. Don't get me started on Ol Parker.
Hi, Who Weekly. First time, long time. I'm just calling because I need to know who this Billie Eilish is. All of a sudden, she's been clogging up my timeline and it's stressing me out because I just keep seeing all these images of her with like spiders and then tarantulas coming out of her mouth. And who is she? She looks like just, you know, like another blonde heroin chic singer in the vein of like a Sky Ferreira maybe, but I don't even want to make that comparison because I do love Sky Ferreira. But who is she? I need to know. Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
Who is she?
She is a singer-songwriter. She's like new hot shit. She's 16 years old. And you've been seeing more about her this week, because I heard about it for the first time this week too, because of the rumors that she's dating Bad Barbie, which she's not.
Barbie, it's Baby.
Bad Baby, sorry. Bad Baby.
She's not dating Bad Baby, though.
They're just friends.
That's weird. What's weird, I guess, is that they're actually age appropriate. Like,
yeah, they're both teens.
Bad Baby's like 15 and this girl is 16, which is just funny because usually what's wrong with a coupling is just like
age disparity.
Yeah, but this is like actually weirdly like it would work.
Yeah, it would work, but
they're
not.
Just friends. They're working together, which actually makes sense because Billie Eilish's like vibe is very like bad girl. Like, she has a song that she wrote with her brother about like being a serial killer, which she's not, but she just like writes from a dark perspective.
She's always like, I don't care. She's like, you don't have to live something to write about. You write whatever you want. That's what my music is. I write about whatever I want. A thing that interests me is that her Instagram, also there's a great photo of her hugging Lana Del Rey, which is iconic.
Which is funny because she's very influenced by Lana Del Rey.
You can tell she's very influenced by Lana Del Rey, by Grimes, by Sky, by...
And you're like, how is this 16-year-old doing this? And the answer is...
She's homeschooled.
Well, she's from Los Angeles and she's homeschooled. So
her mom is an actress, and I think...
And her birth name is Billie Eilish Pirate Bard O'Connell. So in case you were wondering, like, how this person, you know,
she was born
to this place.
She was born on December 18th, 2001. Yikes. She is currently on tour with Florence and the Machine, which is crazy to me. She's very successful.
Kind of works,
but the thing that sort of shocks me is that her Instagram, yes, her Instagram is out of control. I'd recommend that you do not follow it because it will give you a very bad impression of her. Because when you watch
her music is good.
Her music
like
is
you
good.
Like you did all this research and then you heard a song and you were like, oh, she's good. Like she sounds great.
Her music is good. Her music is You can tell her music will keep getting better too. Like you can tell like her next album will be probably a bigger deal than this one, but her music is good. She is very well spoken. Her interviews with her make her seem like a much more appealing and personable person than her Instagram. Her Instagram is very much a look. Her Instagram is very much a brand play, and it makes you expect a sort of Taylor Momsen-y standoffish vibe, like mean, but she doesn't seem mean at all.
She seems talented, which is what she is.
Yeah.
I don't know what else there is to say. I don't really know anything like about her aside from like that like little five bullets that we just gave you.
Yeah, I think the only thing to say is you were talking about her feed specifically, but listen to her music. It's good. What was that song that she was talking about?
Ocean Eyes is the breakout. She put that on SoundCloud and it like blew up.
And then, but there's that other one. It's
There's one called Khalid, Belly Ache.
Lovely. Yeah, this is lovely. There's one called Lovely like with one. Khalid that I sort of like. And then there's, I like Belly Ache. See, I listened to Belly Ache and I was like, I like this.
No, I'm saying I don't like Lovely, the one you were just accidentally playing. I like Bellyache. That's the one where she is the point of view of a serial killer.
Yes. Bellyache is good.
You know.
She's good.
It's cool.
Interesting. Yeah. And I feel like we'll be seeing more and more of her maybe next call.
I feel like we'll be seeing more of her maybe.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby, but mostly Lindsay because I know that your fave, Ryan Lochte, had some great news this week. He literally got suspended for an anti-doping violation by getting an IV treatment for something that he didn't have the proper TUE exemption for. And the reason why he was caught was because he literally posted an Instagram of him receiving the IV treatment. So that's all. I just felt like you guys had to know this. Even if you don't play it, I just needed to return to your fave and mine, Ryan Lochte. Thanks so much. Good form, Bella Thorne. Chia.
Remember his, oh my God. Remember he said that? He would go, Chia.
That was his thing. Chia.
The iconic star of the canceled television show What Would Ryan Lochte Do? Ryan Lochte, known first for that, second for being a swimmer. Who knew? Just kidding.
Third for being a liar.
he once again lied. What's great about Ryan Lochte is that he's so truly himself. I mean, no one is more himself, right? He works so hard. He trains so hard. He's a great swimmer. And then he fucks up by posting an Instagram of himself getting the most basic IV vitamin drip that's apparently against the rules.
Every sort of vitamin drip, IV drip, regardless of what it is against the rules unless you get approval. Like, very explicitly, you have to get approval for any type of IV drip or else you will be suspended because that's part of the anti-doping agency rules. And he...
You said this at the show, but doesn't he hashtag the photo like...
IV drip.
IV drip? Oh my God.
He hashtags a photo of him getting an IV drip. IV drip.
Don't you think like the first thing you would do after learning to swim and being good at it would be reading the instructions? Like reading the rules. Like what are the rules of my number one sport and money giver?
Well, where
money giver,
well,
like job.
Where are his like, you know, management team and like... representation, like they should say
that.
But if he has someone who's taking, like, and even his assistant that's like, oh, I got this on your books, you have an IV drip, PS, don't Instagram this ever, don't tell anyone you're
or
doing
just
this.
Don't do it. Like, it's honestly not even a why don't even do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, I know, but they're all
need a vitamin drip. You need a vitamin drip. Ryan Lochte is very healthy. He doesn't need a vitamin drip.
Maybe the reason he's healthy is because he keeps getting vitamin drips. The point is, no one would have known about this vitamin drip had he not done this. And what if people who work for the TUE are following the hashtag IV drip on their Instagram accounts to make sure that no one they know is getting one? And oops, there's Ryan.
They're following it to get Ryan. They know Ryan is going to mess up. They know Ryan's going to do something. I'm sorry. It sucks so bad because he works really hard and like he's a dum-dum, but like I feel bad because this is his life and this is his skill and he just messes it up by like posting on Instagram.
I mean, Ryan Lochte has an infinite supply of second chances. You know, like Ryan Lochte
Remember when Kim posted that like she got in trouble for posting that pharmaceutical drug for like nausea and then everyone was like and then Instagram was like no. Then, like imagine if Kim was like not allowed to like exist, like be Kim, be on the show, like post on Instagram anymore, like do her job. It would just be like so sad and she didn't read the rules. I just feel like this is maybe that's a bad comparison, but you know what I mean? It's like the punishment does not really fit the crime if the crime is posting an Instagram. I know the crime is more than that. You're not allowed to get an IV drip for reasons that they have already set in stone. But it's just funny that like posting an Instagram was the crime.
It's just funny that he will never stop being stupid. Always. Yeah. He's just stupid. Next call. And I don't even think that's particularly rude. He's stupid. That's his brand.
No, he is. Go back and watch the one season of What Would Ryan Lochte Do? And, like, you will fully understand.
I watched, like, two episodes of that and was like, I can't. I don't have the stamina for this. This is awful.
He has the stamina for it, though, because he's a really good swimmer.
Next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. So I just watched an Instagram story for this, I don't even know, like a D-list actress called Rebecca Rittenhouse. I don't know why I follow her. I think she was on the Mindy Project. But anyway, so she dates Chase Crawford of Gossip Girl fame. And so I was watching her story, and they were at a wedding with Nina Dobrev. Shocking. And I can't figure out whose wedding they were at, but apparently Sebastian Stan, also of Gossip Girl, and I guess Winter Soldier fame, was also there. And all I know is that the hashtag for this wedding was tying the natty, as in tying the, and then N-A-T-I, and that it is from a guy named Will, and then, to be honest, I looked at his, I guess, current wife's Instagram. I don't remember her name. Anyways, whose wedding is this, and why does Nina Dobrev get the name Nina on Instagram? She is probably not the most famous Nina, and she's really boring. All right, good one, Bella Thorne. Bye.
Love this mystery. Love a mystery wedding in which a lot of celebrities are there, but you don't know who's getting married. Mm-hmm. Great.
And I love when the answer is actually really funny.
So we did recently another mystery wedding where the officiant was the mystery.
Yes.
But now we have a couple, the bride and the groom are the mystery. In this wedding, the wedding was, the hashtag for the wedding was hashtag tying the naughty, spelled N-A-T-I. Mm-hmm. It was in Montauk, New York. And it had such stars as Nina Dobrev and Chase Crawford and Sebastian Stan and other kind of CW adjacent people. Jessica Soar, yeah, also from Gossip Girl, remember her? Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, why? What is this wedding, right? And so we were like, And we put on our investigation hats. I don't know what yours looks like, but mine is like a sun hat with a hole in the top.
Mine's just a straw hat. Tail. Mine's my straw hat. You know my straw hat. I love my straw hat.
Perfect. And we found out who the groom was. Do you want to talk about the groom?
The groom is, shout out to our Chicago listeners, the groom was the son of the Lou Malnati's pizza empire. His name is Will Malnati.
Deep dish.
Deep dish. There's a deep dish pizza empire called Lou Malnati's Pizzeria, which I guess is a tourist trap, but when we went to Chicago,
we went there.
Everyone was like, it was kind of half and half, like, don't go to Lou Malnati's, it's a tourist trap, and then half and the other half saying, you gotta go to Lou Malnati's even though it's a tourist trap, because it's actually good. And we went,
and it was actually good.
Guess what? I loved every bite of my Lou Malnati's pizza. Didn't we get some, like, disgusting salad to start with, too, that was also, I mean, it was amazing.
It was like a pizza salad or something.
But
I don't know.
There's nothing more disgusting and delicious than a salad that you buy at a pizzeria. It's so good.
It was so good, and I always was.
We waited like an hour and a half for that table. Also,
Lou Malnati's. I know Lou Malnati's sounds like Illuminati's. If you're not from Chicago, you don't know that like it's Lou Malnati is a name. Mm-hmm. It's not Illuminati's. Did you not get confused? I was very confused for like a while. Yeah. I was like, why? Anyways, so Malnati is the family, and tying the naughty is the son. His name is, what's his name? Will Malnati.
And that he married, and, the woman he married doesn't really matter. What's her name? I feel like I opened up her Instagram, but she's private, which is very rude of her. Her name is Alyssa Barkerson.
People are here.
Alyssa Barkerson.
Did you Google her?
No, I found her. They tagged her, but she's private. Her name is Alyssa Barkerson.
Barkerson?
There's not much to know about Alyssa Barkerson whenever you Google her. There's like one, her Twitter account, but she hasn't tweeted. And there's some story in Elle. She was written about as like street chic, like a street style thing. Someone stopped her because she was wearing a femme floral dress with hard edged booties and a Zimmerman dress and a Bally bag. Okay, that's like it. So she's no one.
Like shares pictures of her and guests and a guest. Yeah, guests and a guest because she's been to parties, but like that's it.
What's weird is that we can't quite figure out how this Will Malnati guy got in with the Gossip Girl crew.
But we can guess.
It's because he's rich and vacations in the Hamptons and Montauk.
Like, so he is obviously the son of all the restaurateurs that started, you know, he's the grandson of Lou Malnati, the original. Mm-hmm. So, And now the founder of Lou Malnati's is his son, Mark, mm-hmm. and Will is the next in line. And Will used his pizza money, his pizza celebrity, whatever, to start this thing called Will Radio, where at he like Will produces Radio. Podcasts, which is really interesting. So he does actual like podcasts you've heard of, just such as the Nico Tortellini podcast, which we
Tortella.
It's Torotella. Tortorella.
Tortorella.
Whatever. I just, it's tortellini. It's just like, it's nice to say. I'm not like trying to be, I just like forget it. So Nico from Younger, they do his podcast. So this guy's like in with celebrities. He probably started this podcast because celebrities wanted to do podcasts that he knew. And he was like, oh, I'll just start like a company that helps you make them.
Yeah. And my first podcast will be famous people. And then I will immediately be off the ground. This is great. He's been friends with Sebastian Stan at least since 2009 because it's the first photo I can find of them together at a party in Montauk eating pop chips.
Eating pop chips.
It's like, I tried to see maybe if they went to the same high school, like a fancy high school. Turns out they didn't, but Sebastian Stan, as I suspected, went to a really fancy high school in upstate New York called Rockland Country Day School, which I think we talked about on the show. Do you want to know who else went to Rockland Country Day School?
Who else went to Rockland Country Day School?
The notable alumni part of its Wikipedia includes such iconic canon who's as Tyne Daly, Ezra Miller, and none other than the eternally cursed Leah Michelle.
Ooh, wow. A Chicago who's who of who's. That's great. And I think this might just be the reasoning they know each other as like rich people
rich,
meet each other.
Rich, young, hot people who have known each other since their youth.
Right. And also it's like if he met Chase Crawford, then he probably met Jessica Soar through him when they were on Gossip Girl. And Nina Dobrev is everywhere. So he probably met her too, you know?
Yep. And that is the mystery solved. Pretty interesting. I do want a Lou Malnati's pizza now, though.
It was really good. I think you can get it like
frozen
in the mail or something. Yeah. We should
do that.
Hey Lindsay, hey Bobby. Long time. Here is my question. I feel like this is super obvious, but if you had to describe Rita Ora, our dear Rita, if you had to physically describe her to someone who did not know who she was, like someone said, hey, Rita Ora, who's that? And you had to say, like, oh, you know that celebrity who looks like this? What would you say about her? This is my question. Don't think you're going to answer it, but I am super curious to hear how would you best describe our dear Rita? Thanks. Love you. Good form, Bella form. Bye.
Yeah, how would you describe her? This is tough for us because we kind of just go into the description of the podcast. Mm-hmm. We don't really like say who she is.
Mm-hmm. I would say she is a publicity-loving British pop star who, while she does release music consistently, and many of those songs are hits, she's most notable for being beloved by British tabloids. So she's constantly in the media for doing anything from walking down the street to
description.
Wearing a different bikini.
You got to make it snappier. This is an elevator
She is a magnetic British pop star who is relentlessly covered by British tabloids. That's it.
That's perfect. I think that's fine. And you gave her her most important title, which is pop star, like singer.
She is a music maker that truly is undeniable at this point.
She has made more music than she has done other things.
Yes, yes. I will not call her a pop star slash actress. I won't do that.
Would you call her a pop star slash model?
I would call her a pop star.
A pop star. Okay. I think that's accurate. I mean, I think that you gave us a very interesting exercise. We usually just like, you know, go right into the podcast. But
I think it's important to note that like she's magnetic and she is beloved by tabloids. You know?
And she loves tabloids. She loves tabloids. But that's actually the next step of the conversation that you'd get into.
And you don't have to get into that. That's secondary.
Start here. Yeah, because you're already like off the elevator. Again, mm-hmm. It's like an elevator.
Like, because I can't just say, she's a British Albanian pop star who eats Cheetos in bed. No, I can't say that. That's not good enough. But we could.
You could.
I could.
You could, and it would also be accurate.
But it wouldn't be as descriptive.
Really give you, you wouldn't really give you what you wanted.
I feel like that's good. I feel like that's reverent. I feel like it's respectful.
It, I mean, we respect that woman every week. So I feel like I've, you know, really done my
We are professional respecters of Rita Ora. That's our job title. That's what I have on my LinkedIn.
It's honestly
Should I put that on my LinkedIn?
No one puts in more work respecting Rita Ora than we do, honestly. Like, no. We give her her due respect.
No one deserves it more.
It's true. She puts in the work just like we put in the work, our second episode of the week. And wow, it's been a good one.
It's been a good one, I think. Thank you to everyone for calling. If you have more questions or comments, call 619-WHO-THEM. I want to keep thanking these people just because why not? Thank you again to Fran and Louie. What a delight. Come to our live show in August, whoweekly.us to buy tickets. And I guess we'll see you Tuesday, back to regularly scheduled programming, right?
You sure will.
Yeah.
You
sure Bye. Will. Have a great
Thanks
weekend.
Thanks for stopping by.
Bye. Oh, wait. We're going to see. Oh, you're not. Are you seeing Fallout with us?
Maybe.
Okay. Call That's in with irrelevant. Your Fallout chatties. No, I want to talk about Fallout.
No.
I'm Bye. Seeing it twice this weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You will drain it. Yo, they want to know.
To be famous.
Kolinda Grabar Kitarović.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago.
I got complimented.
Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented. And I was like, well, they're Spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I won't name, but
this
if you love
Texas.
This album, this ain't Texas. You're going to want your Tecovas, you know? This ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience. It's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.